Today's session, we are being more admin. And ultimately, we're going to dive into what this role entails, the types of skills that you need to be an admin, and perhaps some of the day-to-day responsibilities as well. So for today's session, I am delighted to be joined by Christine Marshall. So Christine, are you able to introduce yourself to the audience for us, please?
Thank you, Tom, and thank you for having me on the podcast. My name is Christine Marshall. I'm a Salesforce MVP. I'm an accidental admin, and I currently work for Salesforce Ben. I've been in the ecosystem since 2014, and becoming an admin not only transformed my career, but I think also my life, because I do a lot of extracurricular Salesforce activities, mentoring, and running the local Bristol admin user group as well.
Okay, perfect. I can certainly relate to those extracurricular Salesforce activities a little bit myself too as well. So that's awesome. So for the next set of questions, your role is as an admin. So if you could introduce that role to our audience, please. Appreciate, obviously, admins wear lots of different hats, but if you're able to break that down, that would be great.
Absolutely. So I've been an administrator for sort of 10 years coming up, and I would define a Salesforce administrator as a declarative developer. That is to say, someone that uses clicks, not code, to build on the Salesforce platform. But that is a huge oversimplification of the role, because as you know, Salesforce admins do a lot more than just build solutions. So I think really what defines a Salesforce admin and how I would describe them is I would call them a problem solver. They take business requirements, business needs, or business problems and design and configure a solution to those. So they really act as a bridge between the business and the technology. They have to be able to translate business requirements into technical solutions and also ensure that both the business and the end users can make the most out of the platform. And just as you alluded to, Tom, depending on where you work, you're probably going to wear an awful lot of hats as an admin, from business analysis to project management. You're probably going to be doing the user training. Maybe you're the technical author for the documentation. Yeah. Maybe you're the support desk for everything help on Salesforce. So we could be here all day if we talked about the intricacies of the role of a Salesforce admin.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. Yeah, it is quite a broad role, and there's definitely different responsibilities. And I think as well, in particular, like if you're an end user and that's focused on a particular market or has a particular set of Salesforce products, the role is going to vary slightly as well. Because, for example, if you don't use Sales Cloud, then you're probably not really going to dive into opportunities, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it depends very much, as you say, on the size of the business and more importantly, the size of the Salesforce team. I always worked as a solo admin, so I did everything. But I know of people that work for very big companies where they're a Salesforce admin, but they look after Sales Cloud, where a colleague looks after Service Cloud, or maybe they specialize in reports and dashboards, where someone else is doing the user management. So the role can be very, very different depending on where you are.
Yeah. Exactly. And I can certainly relate to that as well. So that's good to know. A day to day as an admin, in general, you obviously interact with other people that might be users that are getting an error when they're trying to do something, or that might be a sales manager that wants a suite of reports and they're not able to pull the information that they need. So how would you summarize how this role as an admin interacts with other roles, and what type of other roles do you think it interacts with?
Yeah, I think you've covered the kind of stakeholder bit there. If you're a solo admin in particular and you don't work within a Salesforce team, then you're likely to be working with all different roles in the business, from those very senior stakeholders to the business users, the end users. In terms of how it connects with other Salesforce roles, again, I think that really depends on where you're working and the size of your org, the complexity. As a solo admin, I would have to decide when I'd reached the limits of declarative development, and I would work with external Salesforce developers that would come in on like a contract basis. And so you will, I think, come into contact with other Salesforce roles at much bigger companies, product owners, you know, Salesforce owners, typically in my role, I tended to report either to the VP of sales or the head of IT. So as an admin, you need to be able to talk to everybody.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's important to be approachable as well, right? Because ultimately, people need to be able to come to you with their problems, and you need to think of, I guess, different ways of solving those problems. Do you think that's a fair summary?
I could not agree more. And I often think what Salesforce professionals are doing are changing the typical face of IT as we knew it 10, 20 yeah. years ago. When before I worked as a Salesforce administrator, but I was in offices, and IT would always have their door locked. You'd have to knock on the door and someone would come out just, oh God, what do you want? Huffing and puffing.
Yeah.
It was a really unpleasant experience. That's not the case with Salesforce and with Salesforce admins. You need to be approachable, whether you're in an office or whether you're working remotely. You need to be able to talk to people to coax out those requirements. Yeah. What do you want? What do you really want?
Yeah, understand, I guess, what the problem is that they're trying to solve, right?
Yes, and be able to ask people questions that really help elicit that requirement. Sometimes people don't, they almost don't know what they want. Mm. They know yeah. they have a problem. And to help them understand the capabilities of the Salesforce platform, because it can do so much and they may not be aware of that. So sometimes taking a step back to review an entire process, not just a little snippet of it, because maybe you can automate even more or improve the entire process and they are not aware that it could do that for them.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's really important. Sometimes it's a bit controversial, perhaps, me saying this as a solution architect, but you need to step away from the solution and actually think, okay, what is the problem? Like, as a sales manager, I need to be able to see my pipeline, right? That doesn't have a solution in it. You could achieve yeah. that in lots of different ways, right?
Yeah, completely agree.
Perfect. Okay. So as an admin, appreciate, who often wear lots of different hats playing different roles. Do you typically, do you think that admins play the role of an admin full time? Like, for example, in a consultancy, you might get a consultant that's kind of part BA, part admin. Do you think that admins are traditionally like admins for their entire working day, or do you think they might have other responsibilities as well?
I think a lot of admins, it's a full-time job. And if we think about the skills of an admin and what that job entails, then yes, you might be doing aspects of project management and business analysis, but under the umbrella of your role being a Salesforce admin. So I do think it's a full-time job. A lot of people, though, do come to this by accident. Yeah. And so sometimes you might find that perhaps you're working in the support team, running, you know, the help desk, or you work in sales operations, and you end up becoming a part Salesforce admin by accident. And so I think there are people who probably do know how to configure little bits of Salesforce, and they might consider themselves a part Salesforce admin.
Yeah, okay. And I can certainly relate to that myself. Like, my first job as a Salesforce admin was for Samaritans, and amongst looking after Salesforce, I looked after Jira and Confluence as well. And so that was just one of the systems that I oversaw. So could definitely relate to that, like, different system type thing, because I've done that myself. And yeah, I guess communication skills and stakeholder management, that type of thing, is important, whichever system you're working in, right?
Completely. And those skills are transferable. I always think a platform is a platform.
Yeah.
So, you know, really, and it's a database, it's tables, you configure it, and you can learn how to do that. The harder part to learn is those soft skills, as you said, the stakeholder management, business analysis, working out how to elicit requirements from people, to be approachable. I think if you can do that, and this is especially true for people coming from other careers, they will have lots of transferable skills that will be applicable to the Salesforce admin role. And the technology, well, yeah, you know, that can come yeah. after.
Yeah, exactly. So if there is somebody that's looking to kind of pursue a role as an admin, what tips, advice would you give them that would help them get started, do you think?
So I think it becomes harder and harder to get a role if you're starting out in the Salesforce ecosystem, even though there's this big skills gap and there's a real high demand. It can be very difficult to get your, you know, on the ladder. That first rung of the ladder is really, really hard. So how do you make yourself stand out from the crowd? And I think there are a couple of things that people can do. The first one is to get certified. We'll talk a bit more about this later on.
Yeah.
I have some strong feelings, but I think now so many people have certifications that having at least the Salesforce admin cert is really, really important. But certs are really not everything, and they don't necessarily demonstrate that you have that hands-on expertise. But then you end up in this real circular situation where you can't get a job, so you can't get hands-on experience, and you go round and round. But I think you can get some hands-on experience. You can demonstrate your ability that you can build and configure using a dev walk, using a Trailhead playground, getting creative and showing that off to potential employers. I have to say as well, and I think you'll probably agree with this one, but get connected to the community as soon as possible, because so often it's about who you know and not what you know.
Yes. Yeah.
And I would say stay up to date with the latest releases so that you can speak with confidence and demonstrate how you can help a company achieve a really great return on investment on the Salesforce platform. So often I've been hired, I think, not because of my technical skills, but probably more to do with my previous career where I worked in sales operations. So I was able to speak to business processes and understand the needs of a business, and I think that's more what got me my job.
Yeah, and I can certainly relate to that last thing about being up to date with the releases. And personally, this is just me, but whenever there's something new that comes out, I just spin up a developer org or a Trailhead playground, depending on what stage we are in that release cycle, and play with it. Because I think that's the easiest way to understand it, you know? Do you do the same?
Oh, absolutely. Sign up for a pre-release org if I'm being particularly proactive.
Yeah. But
otherwise, getting hands-on in a dev org, I have a dev org that I've had for, I mean, I must have had it now for 7 years.
Yeah.
It's an old school dev org. And then I have, you know, 50 billion Trailhead playgrounds as well, depending on what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah, totally get that. And I think the good thing, like in particular about pre-release org, is they're always upgraded first.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had one for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years now. And it's just the same one. It was a spring release, I don't know how many years ago. But I just always dive into there and just kind of get hunting for that treasure, as Salesforce put it.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't realise for a long time that the pre-release orgs, you don't need to keep signing up for a new one. You just get one, and then it gets updated with each release.
Yeah, exactly. So great, great tip advice there, I think. So reflecting on your own journey as a Salesforce admin, if you were to do this again, and I know hindsight is a two-sided thing, but if you could do something differently, is there anything you would change or approach in a different way?
Yeah, very, very much so. Actually, there are two things that I would do differently if I had the chance. And the first, despite being very proud of being self-taught, when I first started, there was no Trailhead and I was really figuring it out as I went along, I would get certified much, much sooner. For the first 2 years of my admin career, I had no certs.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they're the be-all and end-all. I don't think they prove that you can do everything. But what I did realize looking back is that I was a potential liability, because there's this saying that always resonates with me: you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
So once I started working towards my admin certification and then further certifications, I learned about features that I wasn't using, that the business wasn't making the most of. But more importantly, I learned about best practices. And although my solutions worked, they weren't necessarily best practice. And so I was inadvertently creating potential future technical debt.
Yeah, no, totally get that. And I think Yeah, some I look back on some of my early solutions as well, and to a point, like, cringe a little bit now. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I did do that. Now I've got to clean it up, you know, because
yeah,
you want to maintain a clean house and make sure that you don't leave things for other people to fix, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose the other thing that I would do differently if I could is I would get involved in a Salesforce community in person much, much sooner. So like yourself, I was an avid user of the Answers community, of both posting questions and yeah, answering questions. And then it took me ages to go to my local user group, and I didn't like it. Back for ages. And I didn't go to my first community conference until 2018. So it was years before I went to a community conference. And actually, I think I've gained the best insights at community conferences. They are amazing. So getting involved in the community, I should have done much sooner.
Yeah, that's great. And quite a lot of people I ask similar questions, and they say that. So I think it is important, and it's definitely kind of building up your network and then perhaps reaching out to people or kind of debating with people on solutions as well. Yeah. And that's what I learned kind of relatively early on. Like, I used to go to the nonprofit user group when I was at Samaritans as an admin, and we would talk about things, and I would love like a little nerd out or a geek out, you know, and it would be like, oh, okay, well, we can do this in Flow, or back then we could do it in Process Builder. Which one would we use, and what would be the easiest thing to maintain, or like the best practice thing to do? And I think those types of conversations are great, but they don't necessarily happen in a virtual world. They happen in the real world, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, awesome. So if you were to summarize kind of like key skills or attributes it takes to be an admin, what type of words come to mind?
So again, there's so many skills and attributes, I think, to be a Salesforce admin. But for me, there are four really key ones. So my first, my absolute number one, has to be communication. Uh-huh. You need the ability to communicate with stakeholders at all levels, including explaining technical concepts in layperson's terms. And the reason for this is that the platform is only ever as good as your user adoption. Without user adoption, everything else fails.
Yeah.
And then I think that leads quite nicely onto my second, what I consider to be most important skill, and that is user experience design, which has probably only become really popular in the last couple of years, mm-hmm. and more well talked about with the introduction of the UX designer cert. But again, it doesn't matter how clever your solution was in the back end. It doesn't matter how great, you know, we could nerd out about it.
Yeah.
To be easy to understand and use in the front end. So I say always design with user experience in mind. And I have this favorite analogy that uses ketchup bottles.
Okay.
In, you know, so historically the Heinz ketchup bottle was the kind of glass bottle, and you had to shake it, and then you sort of turn it over and the ketchup wouldn't yeah. come out. You'd been sort of patting it on the bottom, and then yeah. way too much ketchup would come out. So yes, you kind of got what you wanted, but not really in a way that you wanted to, and it was a bit messy. Mm. With the introduction of the squeezy bottle,
yeah.
you got what you wanted, but it was much more user-friendly. So I always think, how easy is it for my users to use stuff?
Yeah, awesome.
I mean, thirdly, I think this will probably be one of your favorites, because I know about your skill set, but process automation.
Yeah.
Would have to be my third top skill. So, you know, reducing repeatable mundane tasks and automating as much as possible, because Salesforce isn't just a database, right? It's not just a home for your data. The real purpose of Salesforce is to drive innovation within a company, improving processes, reducing manual work so that people can focus on things that actually drive revenue, and the ability to get real-time actionable insights from their data. So if we can remove a lot of that workload from people, they can actually focus on the things that matter.
Yeah.
And then one more, if I may. which is, I think, becoming increasingly important. And so my fourth skill that I would say every admin needs to have is to be security minded, because your company's data is probably the most valuable asset that they have, and it should be treated as such. So before you do anything on the Salesforce platform, especially if you're new to it and you're thinking of getting into it, you need to truly understand the security model and how to protect your Salesforce org and its data from external threats, yes, but also from internal threats, to make sure people can't see information that they shouldn't have access to. And a lot of people forget that Salesforce have what they call the shared responsibility model. So Salesforce is responsible for keeping Salesforce up 24/7, but you are actually responsible for your data. That's your responsibility. So it's really, really key. So that's just four. Salesforce did this thing called the Admin Skills Kit, which is amazing, which goes into their 14 skills. So recommend that to everyone to read. But those are my four key skills or attributes.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. And do you think that some of those skills attributes are kind of changing or evolving? Like, for example, picking on the security thing, with the introduction of things like AI, a secure system perhaps isn't one where users can export all of your information out of it, firstly, and then feed that into ChatGPT. Like, that's quite a security risk, right?
Yeah. It's such a huge security risk. And, you know, let's not forget that anything that we give to ChatGPT, it keeps and it learns from.
Exactly. So
we can't give away our data. We can't give away our customer data. It's not ours to give. And we shouldn't be giving away our business insights to a tool either. And it seems so harmless. You know, AI seems and friendly. But it's not. You know, you can certainly use ChatGPT. I think it's a great thing to use in terms of help me word this email more effectively, or, you know, summarize something for me. But it's definitely nowhere that we should be putting our data.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. And kind of leaning onto the user experience thing, do you have anything in particular that admins can do to improve the user experience, or perhaps consider it more?
Yes, two things, which I feel like I've been talking about for years, but I just think they're so key. So the first one would have to be making pages more dynamic. So only showing the information you need to the right users at the right time, whether that's using record types and page layouts, whether it's using dynamic forms, actions, dynamic related lists, but take the things away that they don't need. So once you receive something, like maybe you get a signed contract back, you no longer need a button that says, you know, send contract. Take that button away, take it off the screen. So less information is much, much easier for people to pass and read, and they'll be more likely to update it. But the second one that everybody seems to forget is consistency. People like things to feel the same. So when they look at an account or a contact or an opportunity, what are you landing on? Are you landing on the details tab? Are you landing on related lists? Try and keep it consistent for the most part, unless it's, you know, a really exceptional thing that's different. Put the activity timeline in the same place, put the related lists in the same order, the buttons in the same order. I know it seems really nitpicky, but it's going to do wonders for your user adoption.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. And I'm glad you said that about consistency, because it does frustrate me when I go to an org and I look at accounts and my related lists are underneath, and then I go to contacts and my related lists are on the side, and then I go to opportunity and they're on the side, but behind a tab.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And because it takes you, we talk about reducing the number of clicks in our org, but what about the number of sort of brain clicks that you have to take? So you go to click on something because you think it's up here, and on this page it's not, it's down there. And there's that time that it takes for your brain to go, oh, no, not there. Where is it?
Yeah, exactly. And it might not be important for people to upload files on particular objects. Like, for example, on the contract, once the contract's been sent, probably not going to need to add another file there, or perhaps it's stored somewhere else, you know. So I think there's that part of it too. And I'm glad you touched on the user experience, because it's really important for me as well. And I think some other things that you kind of hinted at that I kind of wanted to draw attention to is help text. I think I would love there to be help text everywhere. I don't know what you think about that.
Oh, absolutely. Help text. You know, I love validation rules. I think they're very smart, but the bugbear with validation rules is it's less obvious, right? So if you have a universally required field and it has the asterisks and it's so obvious, validation rules are less obvious. So I always say use sparingly where possible and make sure that actually this is somewhere where ChatGPT could come in really handy, is to help you write really effective error messages for things like validation rules. How can I convey this in, you know, a clear sentence? That's a great use of ChatGPT.
Yeah, exactly. And you can also, with ChatGPT, because I've done it myself, in 20 words. Because sometimes, So, yeah, because you don't really want a really long validation or whatever either. You want a concise, and sometimes it's just like getting another pair of eyes on something, right?
Absolutely.
Physical eyes, but you know what I'm talking about. So that's awesome. So if there was an opportunity for you to demyth something about admins, perhaps there's a misconception of, I don't know, the expectation of an admin or what they do. Is there anything that comes to mind that you would like to kind of clarify?
Yes. And actually, I think this is something I would want to clarify for admins out there who are doing the job of an admin, that it's time to start thinking of yourself as the platform expert that you are. So, you know, we don't necessarily code, most of us, but that doesn't mean that you're not a platform expert. And you need to have the confidence to question and say no to requests that are going to cause technical debt or issues. That means feeling confident, asking those hard questions, questioning processes that are in place. And I think the way to do that without coming off as a nag or being very negative is to come at it with a potential alternative solution. So if I've been asked to do something that is just a terrible idea, whether that's because of user adoption or it's just technically an atrocious plan, I will find a polite way to say that, but I'll also present the alternative solution. Say, I hear what you're saying. What I'm hearing is you need this to achieve this. What about if we do it this way? Here's a solution that would work for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, awesome. And I think that that's good for quite a lot of different roles in that ecosystem as well, kind of approaching a problem with a potential solution or a couple of potential solutions softens the blow, right?
Yes, exactly. And I do think the role of a Salesforce admin is an interesting one, because so many people fall into it, come to it slightly later in life as part of a career change. We also have a lot of sort of graduate Salesforce admins now, and I think the population is inherently slightly less confident a lot of the time, especially if you work as an end user admin. I think maybe being a consultant toughens you up a little bit.
Yeah.
but it is developing that confidence and thinking of yourself in terms of you are the expert. But that's not to say that you have to know everything, because Salesforce grows all the time. So it's okay if someone tries to put you on the spot in a meeting for you to say, actually, I'd like to check on XYZ before I propose a solution. I'm going to look into that for you and get back to you with a proposal. That's fine too.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's solid advice there, because, like, for example, a user might be getting a particular error, you've not heard of it before, just need to do a quick Google, and something might come up on the Answers community or Trailblazer community about somebody else that has the same problem, that kind of says, okay, in the past I had this problem and actually this is how I solved it. So it's great.
Absolutely. I would consider it research as opposed to, you know, it's like crowdsourcing solution. It's learning from each other's experience. You know, you might have done something that's worked really well, and that's great. Why don't I use that information instead of bumbling about on my own? There should be no shame in looking online to see what other people have done and taking inspiration from that.
Yeah, Exactly. And I say to quite a lot of my customers, like, there's no such thing as a silly question. Like, if you were to go on a site and post a question, nobody's going to shoot you down for not knowing, you know. People are out there and they will help you.
Yes, that's so true. And I think it's one of the very few communities where people genuinely do want to help you and will give you, you know, they'll do that hand holding with you where they talk through the steps. Yeah, it's how I learned. It's how I think I feel I got to where I am now is using the Answers community.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. So unfortunately, we are having to wrap it up now. But before we do go, are there any particular resources that you'd want to kind of share for our audience? And how can people connect with you and kind of learn from your content that you produce as well?
Thank you. Well, absolutely. I mean, I'm a huge advocate for Trailhead, and also for the Salesforce Admins blog is fantastic. Yeah. And then I think aside from that, obviously, I work at Salesforce Ben, and I would say we have a lot of admin resources there to help you on that journey. Lots of free resources to help you understand the admin role, the skills that you need. So check out Salesforce Ben as well. And, you know, we're known for our written content, but we also have our YouTube channel. So if your preference is for video, then Salesforce Ben has a YouTube channel as well.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thanks again for your time today. And hopefully we will inspire some more people to be more admin. So thanks.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks for tuning in to Be More with Tom Bassett. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave any feedback in the comments.